All right. Good evening, everyone. So I want to thank you for this opportunity to come and to share a little bit of Torah with all of you. And it's especially exciting because Chanukah is one of my favorite Yamim Tovim. Chanukah is one of those fascinating Yamim Tovim that often gets a little bit neglected and is not fully appreciated for the simple reason that whereas it comes to other Yamim Tovim, there's an Isra Malacha, one is not permitted to engage in forbidden forms of labor, forbidden categories of labor. I'm sorry. So when it comes to Chanukah, because essentially during the day we're conducting ourselves in the normative fashion, so sometimes the true impact and meaning of the day or of the days goes a bit unnoticed. So I think first of all it's very special that you're beginning your Avodah of Chanukah tonight on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. It's a very auspicious time to be able to go ahead and begin to understand the beauty of this. Something, you know, in the Svarim, Hasidic literature, it's written that we all have, we're all familiar with the idea that the Sifrei Chaim, the Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mavis, the different books that HaKadosh Baruch Hu records dinin. So first, some say that it's only open until Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. Then, of course, we push it off until Shemini Hoshana Rabbah. Then some say until Shemini Atzeres. But interestingly enough, if one looks in the Svarim, there are actually commentaries that bring down that the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mavis are opened up until Chanukah. That there's something about Chanukah, there's something about this time of year that offers us an opportunity to rejuvenate and to renew our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in certain respects in ways that are dramatically different from even the Yamim Noraim. So I want to share with you just really a very brief idea to hopefully lay the groundwork for this Yom Tov. So let me give one more word of introduction. Actually, well, let's start. Number one, says the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Tana Rabbanan, Mitzvahs Chanukah Ner Ish Ubeso. The Mitzvah of Chanukah is a mitzvah ner ishu beiso. Ner ishu beiso means what? How would you translate that? A light for each man and his home. Which literally means what in a halachic sense? That the core mitzvah of ner Chanukah is that every home has to have one candle lit inside of it. Remember, the mitzvah of ner Chanukah is what we call, it's a chiyuv on the bayis, not a chiyuv on the individual. The mitzvah is on the home, not a mitzvah on the individual. So if I have a home, I have an obligation to kindle ner Chanukah. Which means, for example, if I don't have a home, what would be a situation where I don't have a home? You're traveling, right? Or you're homeless, right? That is true also, right? Excellent. Something a little bit more upbeat, right? So I'm traveling. Again, person's flying to Eretz Yisrael overnight, right? I'm taking a knife, I go there one of the nights of Chanukah. There is no mitzvah. That person does not have a responsibility for Ner Chanukah. Now, the truth is, if one lives in a home and there are other members of the home who will be lighting, so technically speaking, the other members of the home could discharge the obligation on the one who is traveling. But on a very technical level, if on one of the nights of Chanukah, for some reason, you have no bias, you have no home, technically speaking, you are exempted from the mitzvah. So this is the core obligation of Ner Chanukah. One candle per household every single night. And remember, when we say one candle per night, what does that mean? One candle on night one, one candle on night three, one candle on night seven, one candle on night eight. V'amahadrin. But if a person wants to step up the mitzvah just a bit more, remember again, in general in our Judaism, so we try not to just get by, but rather we try to go ahead and push ourselves a little bit more. V'amahadrin, the next level up, is ner l'chol echad ve'echad, is a mitzvah to go ahead and for every member of the home to light a ner Chanukah. So understand, how does this look? So if there are five people who live in my house, how many neros Chanukah are being kindled? Five, right? And again, but in this model, I'm also only lighting how many candles per night per person?
One.
So if the core mitzvah is one candle for the household, the mahadrin is one candle per person per household. The mahadrin and a mahadrin. What happens if a person wants to be mahadrin and a mahadrin? Beishamai omrim, yom rishon madlik shmona, mikan ve'elach poches v'holech. O beisilo omrim, yom rishon madlik echad, mikan ve'elach mosev v'holech. So to here says the Gemara, once we get to mahadrin and a mahadrin, the Gemara introduces us to a dramatic machlokes. Shemarach Machalu is Beisham Beisilo. So Beisham, I says, Mahadrin and Mahadrin, like the glot way to perform the mitzvah, is you start on the first night with eight candles, and every subsequent night, you peel off one candle. So if you begin Chanukah with eight, you end off on the last night with No trick questions tonight, I promise. One. Right, I'm going to start out with eight. I'm going to end off with one. That's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, no, you're going to begin with one. And what's going to happen? Every night you add on an additional piece. Now, just as an aside, not a topic for tonight, but there happens to be a fascinating machlokes in halacha as to how to understand this mahadra min ha-mahadrin. Meaning, are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel building on the previous opinion that says every person is lighting their own candle, and therefore Beis Shammai says every single person starts with eight, goes down to seven. Beis Hillel says every person starts with one, goes up to eight. Or are they saying, no, this is just the mitzvah on the home again. I'm lighting one menorah. Just Beis Shammai says the mahadra min ha-mahadrin is start with eight, go down to one. Beis Hillel start with one, go to eight. Fine, we'll leave that on the side. Says the Gemara, so what are they arguing about? You know, whenever you see a dispute, we always want to understand what is at the core of this dispute. Now, you have to understand something very important. Halacha is much more than just a series of do's and don'ts. Halacha, Jewish law, is the way that Chazal expressed to us certain moral, ethical, theological, spiritual imperatives. Those lessons are often embedded in a legalistic, mechanistic, technical framework that we call halacha. But halacha is never just a series of do's or don'ts. Whenever you see a particular halacha, the first question you have to ask yourself, of course, is, okay, how do I fulfill it? But then after that, the question I have to ask myself is, what is the deeper meaning? What is it that Chazal are trying to teach me with this halacha? So if we see a machlokes like this between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Gemara understands there has to be something major unfolding over here. So what are they arguing about? So number one, third line in. Amar Ula, pligi bat shei amorei b'ma'arava. So the Gemara records that there's a dispute about what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both hold. Rabbi Yossi bar Av and Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad Amar, one opinion says, Taima de Beis Shammai kineged yamim hanichnosin. So it could be the first version of the understanding of Machlokas is a question of how you track time. Beis Shammai says that we go ahead and we light the menorah corresponding to the number of days ahead of us. So therefore, on the first night of Hanukkah, I'm going to light eight candles. I'm using candles, but you understand, I just mean light. I'm going to light eight candles because there are 8 days ahead of me. Seventh or second night, I'm going to take away one. There are only 7 nights left. Versus Beis Hillel, who holds, no, you track time by the amount of time that has elapsed as opposed to the amount of time that is in front of you. So just even before we go on, what's the incredible philosophical machlokes that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are having according to this approach? This is not our topic, but just... Sorry? So good, we'll get to that in just a moment. What's their fundamental dispute in terms of time? What's our focus in life? What's our focus in life? Excellent. Do we focus on what's behind us? Or do we focus on what's in front of us? And this, by the way, I mean, you're all young, Baruch Hashem, but this becomes much more pronounced as we get older. Because all of us, as we get older, have things in our past that we're not happy with, things in our past that we wish we could change, but I can't. And so there are some people that spend their lives lamenting and obsessing about that which has already occurred and cannot be undone. And when you live like that, it is impossible for you to plan for your future. It is impossible for you to maximize those opportunities that are in front of you. Yet at the same time, those who do not reflect on their past are ultimately doomed to repeat the same life mistakes. You understand, by the way, this is a fundamental machlokes in tshuva. Let me ask you a random theological question. If you committed averos, not that I'm chas v'shalom choshesh anyone here, but you have a friend who committed an avera. The friend did tshuva for the avera this past Yamim Noram on 5777. Assuming they did not repeat the Avera throughout this entire year. 5778. Do I have to do tshuva for an Avera that I did 2 years ago that I did not repeat this past year? What would you say? I'll give you a hint. No matter what you answer, you're right. It's a fundamental dispute. So the Gemara actually has a machlokas. The Gemara says, of course, first opinion says, of course not. And actually, the Gemara uses quite graphic lashon. The Gemara says, you know, somebody who constantly revisits their past misdeeds, it's like a dog who goes back to eat its vomit. You'll excuse me for the expression. But the idea is, it's done. It's done. Let it go. You did tshuva. You made amends for it. You said you're sorry. You picked yourself back up. You built yourself back up. Move on. Second opinion says, no. How could you ever forget your mistakes of the past? V'chatasai negdi samid. My sins always have to be in front of me, because the moment that I forget my past transgressions is the moment I run the risk ultimately of repeating them. So I'm just pointing this out over here, that according to this approach, Rishon and Beis Hillel are really having a fundamental machlokes. How do we relate to time? Do we count time corresponding to the days ahead of us? That's Beis Shammai. Can't worry so much about the past. You got to focus much more about what's in front. Or do we count time based on what has elapsed? What's behind me? That's a little bit more Beis Hillel. But I want to draw your attention to the next approach. V'chadamar, taima de Beis Shammai keneged pariachag, v'taima de Beis Hillel de ma'alin bakodesh ve'ein moridin. The second opinion says the following. Beis Shammai's precedent actually is quite interesting. Beis Shammai's precedent is from Sukkis. So if you notice again, if you remember from Sukkis, the karbanos on Sukkis are quite unique. What happens to the karbanos of Sukkis? Over the course of Sukkis, we bring how many karbanos? 70. Excellent. And the way it works is we start with a larger number and we work our way down to smaller numbers over the course of Sukkis. So Beis Shammai says, look, we have biblical precedent for starting with larger numbers, working our way down to smaller numbers. Therefore, when he goes ahead and he formulates the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he says, start with 8, work your way down to 1. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no. Ma'alin ba'kodesh ve'ein moridin. We always go up in Kedusha. Always go up in Kedusha, and we never backslide. We don't go down. Therefore, Beis Hillel essentially says, to start with 8 and go down to 1, can't do that. Everything in Judaism is always about growth. Everything in Judaism is always about perpetual motion. Everything, you know, I spoke of this in the share I was giving this morning. You know, when Chazal tried to describe a tzaddik, when they describe a righteous person in one word, you know, a righteous person is described one word. Don't say righteous. One word. A holich. A tzaddik is always called a holich. Because the hallmark of life piety is not someone who's perfect, because Yemosh Shalom does not demand perfection, because perfection is beyond our grasp. None of us have the ability or the capacity to be perfect. But to be a holich means someone who is constantly in the mode of perpetual growth. I'm always trying to move. I'm always trying to grow. So Beis Hillel says, you can't start with 8 and go down to 1. You have to start with 1 and work your way up to 8. So this says the Gemara. So I want to really focus on this last part. This is really the fundamental dispute that's unfolding over here. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel arguing on how do we perform the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin. That's the fundamental question. And what they're really asking over here is, in Judaism in general, how do we go ahead and structure a Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin life, right? None of us are going to be content with just getting by. None of us are going to be content with just, you know, checking a box. We each want to live a Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin life. So how do I do that? Beis Shammai says, start with 8 and go to 1. And Beis Hillel says, start with 1 and go to 8. So obviously, there has to be something deeper contained in this machlokes. And I want to share with you a beautiful idea. Take a look at number 2. So the Maharal has an entire section called Ner Mitzvah. And in it, as you could imagine, he discusses, again, not just Ner Chanukah, but he discusses Ner Shabbos as well. And he has a beautiful insight. So take a look at number two, paragraph A. So, Kineged Yamim HaNichnasim. So remember again, the Maharal is going to give us insight into the Machlokis, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel. So he writes the following, Perish. So remember again, according to Beis Shammai, so you have to go ahead, we count time corresponding to the days that are ahead. So remember again, on the first night of Chanukah, I'm going to light 8 candles because there are 8 days ahead, so on and so forth. Listen to what the Maharal says. Ki harishon hu aschala el hakol. How do you understand that statement? Ki harishon hu aschala el hakol. How would you understand that? The first is the beginning of everything. So, okay, you say to yourself, great, I came out here to hear that. Right? That's pretty obvious. The first, of course, is the beginning of everything. So what does that mean? Look what the Maharal says. He says, Lekahu yoser b'malo, uki'ilo b'kocho shar hayomim shehim acharav. Says the Maharal something amazing. When you have something that has multiple parts, that has a progression, the koach of the entire experience is contained in the beginning. So what the Maharal says according to Beis Shammai is that if you want to harness the power of Chanukah, The entire power of Hanukkah is harnessed or can be felt, can be experienced within the first day of Hanukkah. The first is the beginning, contains the power of everything. Look for a moment in footnote number 38. Paragraph D. So he quotes over here in the footnotes, Lashon HaBegur Aryeh Bereishis Paraktalet Os Yudzayin Dover Zeyadua Shehaschala Mekabel V'Kolei Takol. The beginning of everything captures and harnesses all of the energy. Shakol Nivna Ela Haschala. Everything is built on the beginning. V'chein Kasav B'Tiferes Yisra Paraklam Zayin V'zeh Lashono Ki Haschala Hu Iker HaDover Mipnei Shu Haschala El HaKol. Let me tell you this outside. What is the Maharal saying? The Maharal says, you know what Beis Shammai is teaching us? Why does Beis Shammai say, start with 8? By the way, what does 8 represent? So, Lamala min ha-teva. 8 also represents almost a level above completion. Because remember again, when we think about completion is represented by what number? It's by 7. Right, that's the unit of creation. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it 6 days, but Shabbos is also part of the Bria. So seven represents a unit of completion, and 8 represents like uber completion, hyper completion, an incredible level of shlemus. So says the Maharal something amazing. Beis Shammai is teaching us that on Hanukkah you begin on first day with 8 candles. Because how you begin Hanukkah will set the tone for everything else during the Yom Tov. Or let me say this a little bit differently. What is Hanukkah? What is Hanukkah, says Beis Shammai? Hanukkah is all about rededication. So of course we celebrate the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. But by extension, what are we doing? We also recognize that there's an opportunity to rededicate ourselves. There's an opportunity to start again. There's an opportunity to start all over. You know, for many of us, by the time we get to Hanukkah, some of the Yamim Noraim zeal has already worn off. The truth is, if you make it to Hanukkah with Yamim Noraim zeal, you're in great shape. Many of us lost it already a number of weeks ago. So what happens? And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to feel like I've started another year with so many beautiful hopes and aspirations, so many dreams and ideas, and here I'm like 3 months in, and I feel already like I'm floundering around. So what's the answer? The answer is Hanukkah. Hanukkah offers us the opportunity to rededicate ourselves, to rededicate our lives. We remember the historical rededication. You have to understand, we'll come back to this a little bit later on. When the Chashmonaim, when the Makkabim came into the Beis HaMikdash, what did they find? What did they find? A mess. A mess, right? Well said. The truth is, the real answer is they found nothing because the Beis HaMikdash was absolutely cleaned out by the Syrian Greeks. Anything that was valuable was gone. We'll come back to that later on. They found a place that was defiled with pagan sacrifices. They found a place that was mistreated and spiritually abused in such horrible ways. And they decided, we can rededicate this space. And if we could rededicate this space that has become so defiled, then we can rededicate ourselves as well. That's the message of Hanukkah. The message of Hanukkah is the chinuch, is the Hanukkah, is the rededication. I could lift myself up. Okay, the year didn't start exactly the way I'd hoped. Right? The ideas that I had during the Elah haven't quite come to fruition. But it's okay. The year's not over. I can rededicate myself now. So says Beis Shammai. But here's the deal. If you want to rededicate yourself, you need to start strong. You need to start with 8 candles. You know why? Because if you could imagine, building of the self is very much like the building of a structure. If you want to build a structure, an edifice that is going to stand for years, what do you need? You need a strong foundation. Right? If there's not a strong foundation, you might have the most beautiful building materials. You might have the most beautiful external edifice. But the building will crumble. Says Beis Shammai, if Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of rededication of the self, you need to start with as close to perfection as you have. 8 candles. 8 candles. Because you know what the beautiful part is? If you start with 8 candles, then you know what? Now let me ask you, does Beis Shammai think that anyone could sustain or maintain 8 candles? No. What's the proof to that? The proof to that is the next night you're lighting 7. The next night you're lighting 6. And again, just a week later, you're only lighting 1 little candle. Because the nature of life are the peaks and valleys. The nature of life is no one is always strong. No one is always inspired. No one is always living a life of Shifti Beveis Hashem. No one is always living a life of Shivisi Hashem Menegdi Summit. We have peaks and we have valleys. But says Beishamai, here's the deal. If you start strong, you'll be able to maintain your fire even with all of the ebbs and flows. You'll be able to maintain your fire even with all the peaks and valleys. But you have to start with 8. If the foundation is strong, even if you go all the way down to 1, it's okay, because you'll be able to go ahead and rekindle. You'll be able to rebuild. You'll be able to re-inspire. But if you don't start with 8, says Beis Shammai, there's no solid foundation, then there's going to be no way to constantly propel yourselves in a model of growth. That's Beis Shammai's model. Comes along Beis Hillel. Skip down to the end of paragraph B. He says, Ulekach. I'm sorry, I actually skipped down to paragraph C. He says the following. Ulaman Amar Kenegit, last two lines. Ulaman Amar Kenegit Yamin Hari Yotzim. But according to the opinion who says, this is Beis Hillel, that we begin with 1, work our way up to 8, corresponding to the days that have elapsed. Listen to what he writes. Ki maschilin bekatan, umisayim, paragraph E, begadol. We begin small, but we end big. What does that mean? Demalin bakodesh ve'in moridin. Because we go up in Kedusha, and we do not regress. Ki akdusha hi ma'alo el yona. Kedusha is a very high level. Ve'ein magia el madrega hazos al yona mitrila. And it's impossible to get to the highest level initially. Rak ki ola eleha madrega achar madrega ad ha'acharon. Instead, what do? One step at a time. Mitzad ki ha'adam is'ala ba'acharona el kedusha yoser. And if you take one step at a time, then one thing is guaranteed, which is what? At the end of the day, you will find yourself infused with great holiness. So what is Beis Hillel saying? So let me ask you this question. Does Beis Hillel in principle disagree with Beis Shammai? What would you say? Does he disagree? No. Why? But so remember, nobody disagrees with Beis Shammai. All of us agree that the best thing in life is to build a strong foundation, is to light all 8 candles at the beginning, to begin every life initiative strong. But you know what Beis Hillel says? Here's the problem. You know, there are some people who have such beautiful plans and aspirations. They have like a 2-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, all incredible plans. There's only one problem, which is there's a state. There's a significant illness that's called chronic planning. Chronic planning means you're always making plans and you're never executing anything. In fact, I'll tell you a beautiful idea. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, said, "Kol yomai gadalti b'nei chachamim." So I went ahead and I grew up my whole life amongst chachamim. Grew up in a rabbinic household. So he says the famous statement, "V'lo matzasi leguf tov el mishtika." I found nothing better for the body. I found nothing better for the body than silence. But then the end of the Mishnah says, "V'chol amarbe dvarim mevichet." So literally translated, we normally assume, what does that mean? Right? The more you talk, the greater, right? Clinical tests have shown that the more you talk, the greater the statistical probability for getting yourself into trouble. So that's what it means. Almost level, "V'chol amarbe dvarim mevichet." So Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, has a beautiful insight, and he explains that the etymological root of chet is not actually sin. The etymological root of chet is a void or an absence, which makes sense because when a person commits an avera, more important than the onesh, than the punishment, is the fact that I'm creating a void of holiness, a space where holiness should have filled. There is now a place in me that is absent, that is void of holiness. Chet means absent. And Rabbi Lau says something so beautiful. He says, "V'chala marbe dvarim." People who spend their lives speaking about what they're going to do, but don't do it, maybe hate, lead empty and void-filled lives. Because life is not really about planning. Life is about doing. Now, let me just caution you with that. Planning is good also, but there's a balance. There's a balance. Especially as you get older, you will see you can make whatever plans you want. More often than not, life does not follow the plan you made. The Ribbono Shel Olam has his own plans for us. That's Chol HaMoed. So Beis Hillel says like this, Beis Shammai, I totally agree with you. I'm in for the eight candle approach, right? Of course, you should start everything on solid footing. You should start everything with perfection, full strength. Here's the problem, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel says, that if you wait for the moment until you can go ahead and get all eight candles lit, what's going to happen? I'm not going to take a show of hands about last time you had all eight candles of your neshama burning. Most of us experience that at intervals, but don't really have that in a sustained level. And Beis Hillel says, my dear Beis Shammai, here's the concern. If you're telling people to wait, to embark upon life initiatives until all eight candles are lit, if you're telling people to wait to act until they can begin with a solid foundation, then you know what? It's never going to be the right time. You know, there are some people like that. When you ask them, you know, so what do you have in what are your plans? And they tell you all the plans. So new wedding, you're going to do it? Not now. But why not now? Because it's not the right time. When will be the right time? I'm not sure, but it's not now, right? They always say, well, it's not the right time. When? I don't know. All I know is that now it's not going to, maybe tomorrow. No, tomorrow's not good either. Next, guess, if you wait for all eight candles, you never act. So Beis Hillel says something amazing. Sometimes in life, you can't wait for the perfect moment. But you have to make the present moment perfect. Sometimes in life, you can't get started with all eight candles. So what do I do if I can't get all eight candles burning? To which Beis Hillel responds, what do you do? Just light one. Just light one. Just get the process started. Just get your neshama ignited. Just do something positive with your life. And you will see, Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. After that first time when you get the first candle lit, once one is lit already and there's a little bit of light, you'll find the courage, the spiritual illumination to light another, and then another, and then another, and then another, and until the day will come where maybe you will get up to eight. Very often it takes more than 8 days to get all eight candles burning, but that is the fundamental yisod of Beis Hillel. Just get started. So says the Maharal, this is the fundamental machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It's a machlokes in life. It's a machlokes in life. Beis Shammai says, if you want to be successful in something, you have to start with a solid foundation. Is Beis Shammai correct? Unequivocally, yes. Absolutely. We know this from our own lives. Things that we are able to start with a solid foundation have a greater possibility of success than things that kind of start chaplap. So Beis Shammai says, if you're going to start, you're going to rededicate yourself to have a personal Chanukah, you got to start strong. You have to lay the foundation. You have to stick with it. You have to go forward. Beis Hillel says, I agree with you in concept, but reality doesn't play out that way. If you want me to wait until all eight candles are lit, I'm going to be waiting for a very long time. Instead, says Beis Hillel, the secret to Chanukah, the secret to rededication, the secret to reigniting the flame of spirituality is just light something. Just light something. Just do something. You know, one little candle by itself gives off very little light. But you know what? At least it's light. And as soon as you've lit, bless you, as soon as you've lit one, you have the greater ability to light a second, a third, a fourth, and fifth, and so on and so forth. This is the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So how do we paskin? Right? After all, at the end of the day, right? I don't want to ruin it for you for Chanukah, but how do we paskin? Right? How do we paskin? We pass like Beis Hillel. And by the way, it's not just that we pass like Beis Hillel in our homes with our menorahs. We pass like Beis Hillel in life as well. And the truth is, we even know this from the beginning with the actual Chanukah story. You know, the Gemara discusses my Chanukah. The Gemara discusses the story of Chanukah. And we know again what happened over the course of Chanukah. We know that the Chashmonaim came back into the Beis HaMikdash. And I mentioned before, what did they find? And of course, the answer is they found nothing. The Syrian Greeks had looted the Beis HaMikdash in its entirety. But you know, there's one little piece of the story that often goes overlooked. Everyone focuses on the miracle of the Pach Shemen. But remember again, when they came in to the Beis HaMikdash, there was one major keli, one major utensil that was not there. Which utensil was not there? The menorah wasn't there. The menorah wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, think about it. The Syrian Greeks looted the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah was pure gold. Pure gold. It was gone. So everybody thinks the whole problem was finding a pach shemen. So the Gemara says something amazing. You know what happened? They walked into the Beis HaMikdash. There's no menorah. Now I'm going to ask you a halachic question for just a moment. If there is no menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, what is the halachic obligation of hadlokas neros in the Beis HaMikdash? None. There's a concept in halach of ones rachmana patre. If you have extenuating circumstances, you are exempt from the performance of a particular mitzvah. So if the Chashmonaim walked into the Beis HaMikdash and there was no menorah there on a technical level, they were exempt. But says the Gemara, what did they do? The girls, listen to how beautiful this is. The Gemara says they took their spears. They took their spears. These were warriors. These were warriors. They took their spears. They fashioned out of their spears a menorah. That was the menorah of the Hanukkah story. And the Gemara says the next year, they made a menorah out of wood. And the following year, they had a menorah made out of copper. And then a menorah made out of brass. And it was only a few years later that ultimately they had a menorah made out of gold. Right? We often have this vision that they're coming in and lighting the golden menorah. They were lighting a makeshift menorah made out of spears. Made out of their own spears that they used to conquer the Syrian Greeks. So what's the message? The message of Hanukkah, the message of the Chashmonaim, is the message of Esel. Now I'll ask you, was that mitzvah, if they were Beis Shammai Jews, right? If they took the Beis Shammai approach, would they have lit the menorah? No. Why? What would you have done? If you're Beis Shammai, what would you have done? You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, there's no menorah, so what do? You got to get a menorah. Let's do a collection, right? We'll do a fundraising initiative. Somebody could dedicate the menorah, the Schwartz family menorah, right? You could have whatever you want. But again, it's not perfect. How can you rededicate the Beis HaMikdash with a menorah made of spears? How can you rededicate the Beis HaMikdash with such a compromised reality? It is so profoundly imperfect. But what's the answer? The answer is we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. We don't wait for perfection of circumstances in order to act. Sometimes you just take the opportunities we have in front of us and we go with them. Sometimes you just take the opportunities that present themselves, no matter how imperfect they may be. We tell ourselves, if this is the opportunity I have in front of me now, then it's the one I'm going to seize. I recognize the imperfection. I recognize the shortcomings. But if this is what I've got, then this is what I'm going to maximize. So we see that not only do we paskin like Beis Hillel, for us contemporarily in a halachic sense, but the truth is, way before the, well, it wasn't before Beis Hillel, but even the Chashmonaim, without realizing it, were ultimately adopting the practices of Beis Hillel as well. They did not wait for perfection in order to act, and they modeled for us the right behavior as well. And I think this is an incredible yisod for us that we have to take throughout life. Because so often we go ahead and we pass up on beautiful opportunities. Whatever those opportunities are, you can fill in whatever blanks you want. We pass up opportunities because they're not eight candle opportunities. Because they're not Beis Shammai opportunities. Because they're just not so perfect. But the truth is, the world is filled with imperfections. And if you wait for perfection in order to act, and however you apply this, building yourself up, expanding your, whatever it is, at the end of the day, if you wait for perfection, you're going to be waiting for a very long time. But if you're willing to go ahead and begin rebuilding the self, rededicating the self just with one candle, then at the end of the day, there are so many beautiful opportunities in front of all of us. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not ask us for perfection. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not ask us for eight candles. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is to light one at a time. And as long as we know that we are lighting one day after day after day, then we could be assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with our success. We could be assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with our growth. And we could be assured that we are contributing life not just to ourselves, but to our world. So really in the Zuchus of coming together on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, we're getting a real, it's the earliest start on Hanukkah I've ever gotten in my life. So I want to thank you all. But in the Zuchus of really coming together on Chodesh Kislev, we should be Zocha to a Chanukah's Habayis. But halavai we should be Zocha to the Bayis Shlishi. We should be Zocha, Meretzim. You know, there's still plenty of time till Hanukkah. You know, Gulas Hashem Kehara, Yeshuas Hashem Kehara Fayim. Everything could change. We could still be Zocha to Meretz Hashem, be celebrating Hanukkah in a rebuilt Yerushalayim with a Beis HaMikdash, with Aaron HaKohen kindling the menorah for all of us. That is absolutely unequivocally possible. But even if that does happen, that doesn't change the other Hanukkah we have to experience. The Chanukah's Habayis. You know, Chazal say that a Bayis is not just a home. Each of us is a Bayis. Each of us is a home. Each of us is a world unto ourselves. Hanukkah offers us this beautiful opportunity to rededicate our homes, to rededicate ourselves. And we should be Zocha Mirat Hashem to stop waiting for all eight candles. We should be Zocha Mirat Hashem to stop waiting for perfection. But we should see in Mirat Hashem the beautiful opportunities we have to light candle after candle. We should be Zocha Mirat Hashem to have those candles combined to form beautiful lights for ourselves, for our mishpachos, for our people. And halavai, those candles should form beautiful zechuyos, beautiful luminescent zechuyos before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And halavai, we should all be zocha in the merit of rededicating our own homes, rededicating our own lives. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu should halavai rededicate our bias. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rededicate our people. Mehera b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Is it because of this
concept? It's a general discourse. Now, you're saying maybe this creates a paradigm. Right. Right, that's interesting.
Yeah, I know. We want to take that approach to life together.
It's an interesting question. I have to think about that. And maybe does this set the tone for always passing in like Beisilo? I don't know. Normally, the assumption is Beisilo is more mako. So generally, we generally try to choose the more mako opinion in halacha. Not in everything, but often with Rishon Beisilo we choose. Beisilo was always interested in creating halacha that was more in touch with the basic day-to-day needs of the people. Yeah, but I don't know, but that's an interesting point for raising. All right, I have to think about it. Right. This is another manifestation of that, right? Sure. Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful. My pleasure. My pleasure. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, so it's a little bit deeper. If someone approached me about recognizing and then single events, and I just wouldn't know if I could give some guidance, I'm just feeling a little bit uneasy about, I'm a little bit, you know, this type of thing, it could get so sticky, because
right.
I want to make sure everything's
what type of event?
So, are you a Bamboo Cafe downtown? Cafe down there? It's very relaxed, kind of, definitely not yeshivish crowd, more young professional, kind of like me. I have so many friends that are not yeshivish, not modern, and no one's meeting anyone.
Right.
And I just think, you know, I think it's a great idea. I mean, I'm in that kind of in between, and it would be a great way to socialize, and I have so many friends who, you know, should have been. It's not working. It's not going anywhere, and just feel so stuck. And it's just definitely more relaxed environment, but I want to make sure that it's not too relaxed.
Right.
That we're not doing anything, you know, because again, we're in our 20s, you know, you have male and female socializing, especially for, I mean, alcohol, you know, it may not be so appropriate. So I wanted to know, does there have to be